This is WYPR.
We had planned to talk about the summer movies in this hour with Christopher Llewellyn Reid, a filmmaker and professor of film at Stevenson University. Among the films Chris Reid had planned to review for us was The Dark Knight Rises, the Batman sequel that opened nationwide at midnight. Because of the massacre in Colorado, he will not be reviewing that or any other film. But Chris will still be joining us, and we invite our midday listeners to talk about the latest mass killing, this one in a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, where 12 were killed and 38 others wounded as they watched The Dark Knight Rises. We'll talk about that after the news from NPR. Welcome to our second hour, everyone. Dan Roderick's here. 410-662-8780. Open phone lines in this hour of midday. Our toll-free long-distance number is 866-661-9309. The midday email address for comments that I'll read on the air, midday@wypr.org. I also suggest you look at the Dan Roderick's Facebook page because there's a discussion going on there among our listeners and my Sun readers or whoever follows me on that page about the shooting in Aurora, Colorado, a former medical student in a gas mask barging into this crowded theater in Aurora, Colorado, during a midnight showing of the Batman movie, The Dark Knight Rises. And he hurled a gas canister, opened fire, killing 12 people and injuring at least 50 others, according to the latest Associated Press story that we have here. So we had set out today to have an hour of midday on film, looking at the summer movies because there have been so many of them. And, of course, this Batman film, I guess, considered the biggest one of the summer, the most anticipated one, I think, opening last night at midnight. And we were going to spend this hour with two of our midday interns, Stephanie Hom and Galen Droop, because we gave them some cash and sent them out to watch some movies and come back with their reports on the summer movies. But we didn't think it would be appropriate to do that in this hour of the show. And our lead reviewer today, Christopher Llewellyn Reid, who is a filmmaker and associate professor in film and video at Stevenson University, was nice enough to run out and see a bunch of summer films for us to come into today's show to talk about them. But and the last one he saw was at 3:45 a.m. today, and we invited Chris Reid in here just the same because this is an extraordinary and tragic turn here. So we just thought it would be not appropriate to spend the hour talking about, you know, a source of joy for you most of the time, I guess, is going to the films, even to see the bad ones. But Chris, nice to have you with us anyway. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Dan. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, and I invite our listeners to call and talk about this most recent tragedy here, but I'm still, I don't know, it has not become white noise to me yet, killings like this in America. You know, they don't all blend in. These are extraordinary things. We think we're getting used to this kind of level of violence, but gee, it was people in a movie theater seeing a pretty violent film too, by the way, so. Can you just describe a little bit what it was like for you here in Baltimore going to see the new Batman film? What was the atmosphere like?
It was actually a fairly relaxed yet festive atmosphere at 3:45. I thought it would be a little rowdier, that I'd be seeing people who'd been up all night. But it was a mixed age crowd. I was, you know, I'm 43. I was not the oldest person in the crowd. Mm-hmm. Very, very nice reactions to the film. The only time people got a little impatient was when the previews kept on going on for a little too long.
Mm-hmm. And this was at White Marsh?
This was, I saw it at White Marsh.
Were there a lot of people at a 3:45 a.m.?
It was not packed.
Okay.
There was probably about half full.
Right. And this is a much anticipated film, lots of anticipation over this film. The buzz on this film was quite high, and then So when did you catch the news, after you emerged from the movie, which is like almost 3 hours long?
Yeah, right? It's 2 hours and 45 minutes long. And as I was getting into my car, it was just about 7 a.m., and I flicked on WYPR and started listening to the news. And much to my shock, as I was driving home, I heard the whole story unfold. And
yeah,
my reaction was, I was dumbfounded.
I know. And it's happened before. And I have in front of me here a list of, it hasn't happened in movie theaters before so much, but I have a list here of the mass killings that have occurred in this country just in the last 10 years or so, and they all spark a memory, and it's really kind of extraordinary. It's just something we sort of have learned to live with in this United States, because we don't do much about it.
Yes, and these kinds of mass killings have yet, this I believe is the first one that's happened in a theater. I think there have occasionally been isolated shootings, but we generally see movie theaters as a place of safety. You sit in the dark, you enjoy vicarious violence, but it has yet to intrude into that experience. So I think that's one of the most disturbing aspects of this story, is that it took yet another safe place and made it seem, at least temporarily, unsafe.
410-662-8780 is the phone number here if you'd like to share your comments about this. I said that, you know, these stories have not yet become sort of the white noise background for me, because it's an extraordinary thing that this happened. And you look at Virginia Tech, Columbine some years ago, nickel mines in Pennsylvania, others that will come to mind, folks. There are so many shootings that occur in this country anyway. So there's so much gun violence anyway, and not just of this nature, a mass killing like this. I don't know. At some level, I think we've kind of grown to accept it, because either we don't know what to do about it, or we don't try to do anything about it anymore. There seems to have been a lot of people who have surrendered to the fact that we have something like 290 million guns in this country, and there isn't much you can do about any of that.
And I'm sure there will be people who will try to draw parallels between the violence in films such as The Dark Knight Rises and the violence in our culture, and I always hesitate to make those connections. I'm not a trained sociologist or psychologist, so
right.
I always kind of caution to not jump to those conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, in this film, there is far less graphic violence. It's usually implied, although we may see people die, you don't have that intense close-up of blood and gore that we've come to expect in films such as the Saw movies and Hostel. It's done fairly subtly as far as the actual moments of violence.
So when people raise that issue for you as a film critic, a film a professor of film, and a filmmaker, when people raise that issue that films have become way too violent and they give ideas to people who wouldn't ordinarily have these violent ideas. I know you're not a sociologist, but how do you defend it? Because it does come up a lot. You do hear people with this complaint.
I try to make a distinction between people being desensitized to violence in the pop culture that we are exposed to and people being desensitized to violence in life. And I think there's no question that the violence that we see on screen has been ratcheted up. Certainly films like Saw and Hostel didn't exist even 10 years ago. And personally, I find them rather disgusting and excessive. But whether or not films like that lead to more violence in our culture, I really am not qualified to say.
Well, there might be some concern here. Hollywood is after a certain audience with these films, right? It's not 43-year-old white men necessarily. It might be teenage boys of all races, right, who would repeatedly see a film. Is that not one of the key demographics still for films of graphic violence?
Absolutely, and I think you can definitely see a parallel between the violence in films like Hostel and Saw and the violence you see in video games. Because I think both have had their graphic violence ratcheted up just in the last 10, 20 years. Now, whether there's a parallel between that and violence in society at large, again, I caution against those kinds of...
I might make one note about the Batman films, the earlier series, and then this trilogy here. I remember fans of Batman, the comic books, DC Comics, right, complaining in the late 80s when that first one came out with Michael Keaton, and then in the early 90s, that this Batman was way too violent, that these films were violent, and that Batman didn't, quote-unquote, kill guys. You've heard that criticism raised about the treatment of Batman in both these series?
Well, it's ironic if people said that about the Tim Burton series, since by comparison to the kind of dark tone of the Christopher Nolan ones, they seem very cartoonish if you watch them again these days. But the 1980s saw the Batman comic book, the graphic novel, The Dark Knight Returns, published. And that series is what really set the tone for the kind of new violence. And that series was actually far more violent than the first Tim Burton films, very much in the tone of the Christopher Nolan films. So.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Chris Reed. I'm sorry we didn't get to your reviews of all these summer movies, but perhaps we'll do it another time, okay?
All right. Well, thanks, Dan.
Yes, yeah, nice to have you with us and get to meet you. Christopher Llewellyn Reed, who teaches film and video at Stevenson University, is a filmmaker himself.